Well, hello everyone. My name is Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, and I want to extend a warm welcome to everyone who is joining us here at the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T. Each week we get together and have conversations on topics that I think you'll want to hear. Over the last several weeks, we've been discussing all things COVID. We've got a very important topic to discuss today that will lead us forward into where we can go from here. You will find the Tenpenny Files to be educational and inspirational, and I hope that you've been finding them to be food for your soul. We've been releasing this information for the last several months, and I hope that the primary take-home that you have is that we are engaged in a spiritual battle for the survival of the human race. This is not a battle against power and control of humans. This is a spiritual battle, the need to fight and put God in the middle of the battle. Today we're going to talk about the fabricated concept called social distancing and contact tracing. There's a definition to social distancing. It's actually called the measures taken to prevent the spread of infection by limiting physical contact between people. The goal of social distancing is to decrease a healthy individual's exposure to those who may have a contagious infection. Think about that for a minute. It's worth repeating. The whole purpose of doing this, of this social distancing, is to decrease a healthy individual's exposure to those that might be sick. But yet, we've taken healthy people and put masks on them and separated them and made them stand 6 feet apart and not touch and not shake hands and not hug. Healthy people to healthy people. This is not social distancing to prevent infection. This is social distancing for control. An infection can be transmitted in several ways. It can be airborne, it can be direct physical contact, or it can be touching contaminated surfaces. And every one of those things have been capitalized on by those that wish to control us and put us into subservient and slavery positions. We put on a mask so that we may not come in contact with someone else's sneeze. We direct physical contact, we can't shake hands. We have to bump fists or bump elbows. Now we have cashless checkout counters with credit cards that you tap to make sure that nothing is touched. We have indirect contact that everything is sanitized and sprayed down and wiped to make sure not a trace of humanity is left behind. I remember where I was standing the first time I heard the phrase social distancing. I remember I was standing in my office with my employees back in the break room, and I heard someone say, you know, all this stuff is going to social distancing. And I said, please tell me this isn't going to become part of our language lexicon. We're going to talk about social distancing, not physical distancing, social distancing. Remember that thoughts are things, words have power, and definitions mean something. This is separating us from each other in society, not just physical distancing because of some fabricated length of some fabricated distance that a virus is capable of spreading. This all started back in 1934 with a question. How long does it take for a virus to fall to the ground after its initiation point? When you sneeze or cough, how far away does that particle travel? This became a widely accepted hypothesis that airborne transmission really happened. Droplets greater than 1 millimeter in diameter would fall to the floor in 6 seconds. Droplets greater than 1.01 millimeters in diameter, it would take about 10 minutes of that light particle to go through the air and that very small particle before it fell to the ground. Droplets that were teeny tiny, 0.001 millimeters in diameter, could stay afloat for more than 16 hours. A coronavirus is even smaller than that. A coronavirus is 0.00012 millimeters in diameter, which means it stays afloat indefinitely. The whole concept of social distancing is absolutely a ruse. Viruses float through the air all of the time, and our immune system and our toll-like receptors in our immune system neutralize them 24/7, 365 without a given thought. Our bodies in all of our various microbiomes carry more than 100 trillion viruses, bacteria, protozoa, yeast on the surface of our skin and in various organ systems within our bodies. The concept that this one isolated virus could pounce on you and cause you horrific death, disaster, and disease, and we could mitigate that by staying more than 6 feet away, is absolutely nonsense. That whole nonsense came full circle in 2006 when senior scientist Robert Glass from the Sandia.gov Institute in New Mexico came forward and analyzed his high school daughter's science project. He specialized in building advanced models for complex systems. His 14-year-old daughter built a hypothetical town of 10,000 people. When schools were closed, they hypothesized and modeled that only 500 people got sick. So what better way to shut down the spread of this virus and to keep people from getting sick than to socially distance them and close them down, quarantine them, and keep them home? This science project of this 14-year-old girl is where the idea of distancing and school closures came from. What has been the consequences of social distancing all around the world? We shut down, quote, non-essential facilities, public libraries, swimming pools, sports teams, gymnasiums, childcare centers, restaurants, gymnasiums, all kinds of businesses. We shut them down as non-essential facilities. You know, when they first started talking about this, we were going to close all non-essential businesses. My first thought about that was, well, certainly people who are making up these nonsensical rules have never operated, owned, or run a business. They don't understand overhead. They don't understand payroll, benefits. They don't understand the magnitude of what they were doing to people's lives by shutting them down. How dare we suddenly declare that a dog grooming business is a non-essential business, when it's very essential to their customers? In fact, if you have a non-essential business, you are out of business because you have no customers. Someone made a list of things that they wanted to obliterate and do away with that had nothing to do with reality. We stopped all unnecessary travel. Well, I don't know about you, but I don't think a lot of people do unnecessary travel unless they call vacationing an unnecessary travel. Most people travel for business because they have to or for the sheer pleasure of it. But to call it unnecessary travel, we stopped down the entire global tourism industry, cruise, tours, hotels, resorts, and all of the supply chain that went into those individual businesses to keep them afloat. This adversely impacted enclosed businesses. We shut down in-restaurant dining, but it was certainly okay for people to be inside that building, prepare a meal to put in a plastic bag for you to take home, as if nothing would have been transmitted there. We closed schools, colleges, and most importantly, we canceled churches, funerals, weddings, sporting events, movie theaters, and concerts as all non-essential things. The consequences are that human beings need food, water, shelter, socialization, and human touch. There was a study that was done by Caltech on mice that when mice had been socially isolated for more than 2 weeks, they remained frozen long after the threat had passed. Whereas normal mice stop freezing and begin to re-socialize soon after the threat is removed. The longer they could shut us down and keep us in, the more detrimental it is to humans and to the idea of humanity. What was contact tracing? I remember when I first started hearing about contact tracing, I thought, that's legalized spying. We're instituting the brown shirts from the Nazi era to spy on your neighbors. Do you have other people at your house? Are there more cars in your driveway? Are you keeping your distance? We are going to report you to the health department. And that is how contact tracing began. The goal was to limit the contact between those who were infected to stop disease. But we just didn't isolate and keep people home that were sick. We kept home everyone. Because every case, every tested positive, irrespective on whether or not their CT value was greater than 40 and was a false positive, we kept them all at home. Every infected person needed medical support and follow-up. Every contact situation was different, where contacts live, the number of encounters, the venue size, assisted living versus a concert. They put their nose into every single area of our business. And then we started to form public health policy and based around a case. What did they define a case to be? A case is a person diagnosed with a positive PCR test. And in a previous episode on this channel, we talked about the fraud of PCR testing. This was not a person who was symptomatic. This was a person who had a positive test, which could have meant absolutely nothing, especially if those tests were done in healthy people. Contact tracing was propagated by John Hopkins School of Public Health. I actually took their entire course. I spent 3 days and went through the entire course and found all of the lies that they were propagating to our governors and to our officials at the various levels of government. This is one of the direct quotes from their course. Quote, if someone has a positive PCR test, that shows that there are particles of the virus in the sample. This means there is an active infection. If someone has a positive PCR test, then we can be very confident that they have COVID-19, which is an absolute blatant false lie upon which public policy at every layer of government in our country has built its policies on. In a previous episode, like I mentioned, we talked about the fraud of PCR testing. And if you go to drtenpenny.com and you look under the shop tab, you can find Vaccine U that will take you to an entire series of courses that we did, entire series of courses that are about an hour or so long with full documentation on each course about contact tracing, social distancing, the fraud of the PCR testing, the myth of the mask, and the fraud of the vaccine. And I encourage all of you to go to drtenpenny.com, click on the shop button, go to Vaccine U, shop through the catalog. You will find an amazing array of educational programs there that you can get fully educated on these topics. So the truth about distancing is that it's a fraud. And this article that came from the New England Journal of Medicine in May 2020 actually spells it out really clearly. It says this, we know that wearing a mask outside of a healthcare facility offers little, if any, protection from infection. Public health authorities define a significant exposure of being within 6 feet of a symptomatic person. The chance of catching COVID-19 from a passing interaction in a public space, or why you would ever have to wear a mask outside walking your dog, or wearing a mask driving by yourself in a car, is ludicrous. The chance of catching something at all is just silly. Many cases, the desire for widespread masking and social distancing and spying on your neighbors is a reflex action to anxiety over a plandemic. So this comes to the point of who are you going to be a slave to? And this is what the Bible says about slavery. Romans 6:6 says, don't you know that when you offer yourself to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one that you obey? And Titus 2:9 says, slaves are to be submissive to their masters in everything. So if you're going to bend your knee to the pharmaceutical companies and get a shot, if you're going to bend your knee to wear a mask to keep your job, then be happy about it. Don't be argumentative. Follow through and be submissive to your master. But no person can serve two masters. Which will you choose, to follow the Lord no matter what it costs? Which of these two verses will you stand on? Galatians 5:1, Christ has liberated us to be free. Stand firm and don't submit again to the yoke of slavery. And what about 1 Peter 2:16? Live as people who are free, not using your freedom as a cover-up for evil, but living as servants of God. And with that, I think it's really important for us to look at an even deeper way in what it means to be a servant or a slave. And on that, I'm going to bring in once again for another week. I just love it when Scott comes and joins us on our program. So Scott's going to come in and talk really today about us, to us about what it means to serve two masters. Can we really do that? And I know that Scott has amazing things. So this is Scott Kesterson of Bards FM, the biggest voice on all of the internet, in my opinion, in service to God. So Scott, welcome back to the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T.
Hi, Sherry. Thanks for having me on. I don't know about the biggest, but I'll take it. It's good.
Okay, great. So, you know, we've talked about this a little bit before the show about serving two masters. I know you've got a lot to say about that.
Well, I think the first thing I'd say to everybody is just to remind everybody of Ephesians 5 and what is essentially 14, cutting off a few words, but centers on awake, O sleeper, and arise from the dead, and Christ will shine on you. There is literally a, there's no nice way to say this, there's a brain dead public out here that's walking around and making a choice to walk into this place of salvation through an injection and not turning to God first. And I don't know how else to say this. Fear is one of the most cancerous pieces we have, and in doing so, it divides your loyalties between where you serve. You know, we look at Joshua 24:14-15. Choose who you will serve. And that's now, therefore, fear the Lord and serve him in sincerity and in faithfulness. Put away the gods that your fathers served beyond the river and in Egypt and serve the Lord. And it goes on. But I think what's very critical about that statement is it's you have to make a choice of who you're going to serve with sincerity and faithfulness. And unfortunately, these days, our service, God is like this side package that we do. We kind of like, okay, let me see. Maybe today I'll go to the church on Sunday and everything will be good. If I miss a few weeks, it's okay. Got to get it back to my regular life. Got to pay the mortgage. None of that stuff matters in our relationship and why we're here. Our purpose in this life is to expand God's kingdom and to stand truly with God in all that we do. Our purpose is not to be accumulating material things, walking in this dual worlds. And so we've grown up in a world of two masters. Loyalty to bills, loyalty to debt, loyalty to supposedly service and endurance of Christ. You can't have both. And in fact, that's where we get into this problem right now, because we don't frame this current problem in terms of a loyalty or service to two masters. What we see is instead we see, well, I'm being obedient. But obedient to what? If obedient, what's the principles? If we go back to our Constitution and we look at this clearly, obedience to tyranny is against our duty as Americans. It says it in the Declaration of Independence. Obedience to we are to overthrow a government that becomes tyrannical. That's part of our founding documents. Imagine that. And it doesn't just say that we have to. That it's an option. It says it is our duty to overthrow it. So if you're being obedient to a government that's telling you what to do, that's dictating to you to strip away your God-given rights, you're being obedient to tyranny. You're allowing them to take away what is proven and what is established as God-given rights, and you're by your own free will, which is the trap here, you're allowing yourself to be used by a tyrannical order, and you're willfully complying and bowing down to evil. That is against every tenet that we live on, every tenet this country was built on, every tenet within the scriptures. Unless, of course, you want to be a willful slave, which is effectively what people have become. The idea of being a patriot in this country anymore is being compliant and being obedient to what government says. I'll give you a great example of this right before us. It's been before us for years. Taxes. Taxes, by definition, are illegal, yet we continually go through this process of, well, I hate my taxes, the IRS is going to come get me, whatever. Why didn't we just choose as a group of people to say no? It's not about the one, it's about the many. The same thing with this whole COVID scam. This whole thing from the very beginning, as I frame on my own show, President Trump warned the people for 5 years the media was the enemy of the people. We ended up with COVID running into our country somewhere around January, started to appear in the fall. In January, it appears. The kind of the main crisis dies down near the end of February, but the media is not satisfied. So it starts ramping up the fear of the mask thing again. President Trump never wore a mask. He stood there boldly and offered alternative therapies. He brought in the head of science and technology for DHS. They talked about light therapy. They talked about other types of injectable therapies that would cure this. They were alternative therapies. What did the public do? As a whole, the public bowed to the media It bowed its servitude to the media. It listened to the media's fear. It became a servant to fear. And then the only way out of this was they would not accept or fight for that matter, the alternative therapies, which we know work, HCQ and ivermectin. Instead, they're just like, when am I going to get the shot to be safe again? When am I going to return to normal again? And nothing is given without a cost when you do that. And once you give away your freedoms, you aren't going to get it back for free either.
You know, we're actually kind of doing that again, aren't we, Scott? I mean, we've talked very, very loudly. I know you have on your broadcast, and I have on these shows and on my own podcasts, talking about the fear. And the biggest tool that they've done is fear. And now that we've kind of gone from talking about the fear of what happens with these shots, now we've talked about the fear of not this shedding, but this transmission. And we talked about that on a previous episode here on the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T. And the five doctors, we've talked about the five doctors that we've gotten together and talked about this whole process of transmission. But what are people doing? They're doing the same thing. They're saying, what can I do to protect myself? What supplement can I take? What drug can I take? How can I avoid this? What can I do to help my children? Instead of, again, turning the fear over to God and putting their fear at the foot of the cross. Now, that doesn't mean to be stupid. I mean, there are things that we can do in terms of ivermectin and hydroxychloroquine and zinc and a certain set of supplements about being responsible. But that just means I will do what I can to be responsible with on the information that I know, and I'm not going to be addicted to the fear porn in my body the same way about this transmission as I was the fear porn about the COVID or the fear porn about the shot. And I think that is it just human nature that that's the place that we go to? Is it the flawed element of human nature? What do you address that for me?
All right. Well, I would first of all start with Matthew 6, 22 through 24. And the eye is the lamp of the body. So if your eye is healthy and your whole body will be full of light, but if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then light is in is darkness, how great is the darkness? We are literally have lost our way in this place of prioritizing something you've hit on, that it's always a mechanical issue to fix ourselves. We are first and foremost spiritual. That is what we are here for. And when we reprioritize our lives back to putting spiritual at the center point of this, then everything else starts to align differently. We aren't seeking healing. We're seeking cures. Big difference. Medical is about, and in Western medical in particular, is based on two principal issues, injecting or extracting. Nothing is about the holistic principle of elevating and healing ourselves fully as the body. So this becomes a major problem. We cannot serve two masters. And there you go, right there. We're serving one is saying that I want a cure for something, but I don't want to heal. What do we ultimately have to do? We have to heal our soul. So in this walk that we're in right now, we are conflicted as a society, and it's very easy to be succumbed by fear, because what we do is when this thing happens, we don't think clearly. We don't step back and turn ourselves to God and say, okay, God, guide me through this, and we don't take the reason for this. Instead, we look immediately at what are they telling me is true? Well, where is that coming from? That's coming from an information source that is based on fear itself. Media is all about fear news. You know, it's always a cycle of fear to amplify our anxieties. And when people get locked into fear and anxiety, they seek a resolution as fast as possible, because that is a normal state of affairs. The body can't sustain itself physically in a state of fear and anxiety. So they turn to something that is physical. And in doing a physical response, they're like, okay, what's going to get me through this? Well, that's like the drug dealer standing on the corner going, I've got something for you. How about another hit? And so we get the injection, and so people get the injection, and they make a choice, not even looking at the consequences. They don't take time to research. They don't take time to read the contract. The contract of release on this is such a big deal, and it's right before you. It says you will assume all responsibility for the consequences of this injection. This is a prototype injection. It's experimental. It's not even approved. And yet people are accepting it and going along with it. Imagine, just think about this for a second. We are living with employers that are telling people, I mean, this is where we have to take a step back. You can't have your job unless you agree to taking an experimental injection. You can't go through into processing unless you take a shower. Sound familiar? After you get off the train with your yellow star? This is ruthlessness at the highest level. They are forcing people into a place where you have to comply. And if you don't comply, we'll kick you out of society. And worse, those that have taken it now are rallying around themselves and saying, okay, well, guess what? You're not one of us now. And here's the worst part, because this goes against every tenet we are on this nation, every tenet that we are in the Constitution and in the Bible. They're saying this: now that I've taken the injection that's modified my DNA, a choice that I have made with my own free will, I have now rights that you should not have. I should be given rights that you don't have. I should be given access. Why did you take the injection in the beginning? What was it for? Because it sure as heck has never promised you a cure. It's only promised you a reduction in symptoms. So now that you've taken it, somehow you're superior to somebody else? This isn't living a country of freedom. This is living a country of tyranny. Worse, it's fascism. And you have become the Germans, and those who have not taken it have become the Jews. That is that blunt. And people don't want to look at this. We are now, the only thing missing in this whole thing is the star that those that don't take it have to wear on their chest. That's it.
Wow, that's a mouthful. And I hope everybody will re-listen to this again, because Scott just hit it out of the park with that last two sentences of what he said. So, you know, we always run out of time, Scott. You know, we could talk for hours, which sometimes we do. There's lots to talk about. You know, so thank you. This is Scott Kesterson. Thank you so much for joining me again today to talk about the social destruction that's being caused by this nonsensical public policies, and how we really are leading back into some form of Nazi terrorism. So I do want you to, so the full presentation on this today can be found at drtempetty.com under the education tab. So before we close out today, you know, Scott, one of the biggest and most important things, in my opinion, that you bring to the world is your heartfelt prayers, and how that just resonates across the airwaves and resonates with so many people's hearts. So as we close out our broadcast today, would you please gift us with one of your wonderful prayers to close today?
I'd be honored. Thank you, Sherry. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we come together. We ask that in these times where division is becoming standardized and people are seeing that privilege through taking an injection is giving them rights and separation willfully and encouraging it in government, that they can open their eyes. Please give them eyes to see. Give them the heart to remove the darkness and let them realize that you cannot serve two masters. You can't serve one of tyranny and then serve you. Lord, let us all come together and heal in this place to realize that what is being done to this society is darker than anybody has imagined, that in this place it is not only division, but it's destruction. Let us reunite as your children, reunite through prayer, reunite through love through you, and let us now begin the process of healing, both spiritual and physical. And we say these things in Christ's holy name. Amen.
Whew, amen. And all God's people said amen. Thank you, Scott Kesterson of Bards FM, and all of you guys that aren't following him, you need to. Go find him on every place that you would listen to podcasts, and follow Scott's amazing podcasts every single day. So with that, I'll close out with my favorite verse from the Bible, Romans 12:12. Rejoice with hope, be patient in fear, in trouble, and persistent in prayer. Until we meet next time, stay close to God. He'll never let you down. We'll see you again next week on another episode of the Tenpenny Files with Dr. T.